Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're listening to Seggy Station, just a man that has a nickname, what was it I say, with no shame. Thursday, April 18th, 2024. So many technical difficulties up in here recently with the podcast, kind of a shame. But I'm here, fired up to be here, talk some sports today, get into catching up on the past month, 2 months or so, where I haven't been around, potting as much. Rich coming through to talk some hoops for a bit. I know he's busy with work, but he's going to stop in and touch on some of the NBA playoffs, play-in. Knicks get the 2 seed, Thunder get the 1 seed. Plenty of Thunder-Knicks talk here on the podcast, so fired up to get into that discussion today. UConn with the back-to-back championships, following along the women's hoops and leading into the WNBA season. A lot to get into in the women's game. Baseball starting up, obviously full swing of things now, literally, and 20 games into the season or so, following along Yankees, Mets, listening to the fan is pretty funny to kind of see how the season shakes out, not only for my boy Chu, trying to get to a Mets game here in a still get some of the podcast. I've been having issues, technical issues with getting it on Spotify. I don't know what's going on with that. Things got to change. You got to update stuff. Everything has to change. Nothing can be the same. And over time, I think it just becomes more difficult for people to do certain things, keep up with certain things. I'm only going to be 30 this year. I can only imagine what it's like for somebody my dad's age trying to do something like this and keep up with some of these technological issues and advancements and updates, and you got to change this, and we have 25 million passwords, and it's kind of a load of crap to me. It kind of pisses me off, kind of gets me in my feels. I still got the podcast on Podbean. I still got an Instagram page, whatever that means. You could always check out what we're posting there. Try to get those posts up when I do the podcast. As always, Seggy Station on Instagram, it's underscore Seggy underscore G, where you can catch out the live stream of the podcast. Rich should be here shortly. You can see his beautiful face. Should be a good show. Fired up to be here. Not bad, dude. Not bad. Been, this shit pisses me off recently. Every time I come in on here, it's like everything's changed, updated. Like, I literally won't do a pod for like 3 weeks or a month, and I come back and it's like they got to change everything, change this. Like, they're like, oh, we're updating this. Oh, we changed this. Oh, Spotify sold to this and Anchor sold to that. And fucking, it's just, everything has to be so fucking complicated, bro. It's like so frustrating. And like, I come in, like, I just want to like fire on my laptop and just like turn my shit on and send you the link. It's like, oh, you got to update this and you're fucking, you need your password and fucking blah, blah, blah. And it's just like million fucking things. It's probably like my laptop's too fucking old to even be fucking doing this shit. It's just annoying as fuck, bro. They just keep getting you where you gotta like keep buying shit and subscribing to shit, and you gotta upgrade shit. It's just fucking annoying, bro. It's like, I don't know. It just, so much shit happens from the time that I'm here last to now, and it's like I want to cover so much stuff, and it's like, oh man, I'd love to just hop in and fucking just chat for like 30 minutes at the end of the day. It's just to fire everything up and get everything going and like organize everything and do everything. And it's like, it makes me realize like how much time I put into this in the beginning and like how much I like don't put any time into this now. Like, I literally just fire this up. Like, yeah, I have some notes and some screenshots, but I have no fucking, no format or anything, bro. I used to do this shit like I was doing a legitimate show. So it is cool for me that I'm still even doing this, that I still can fire this up and get you in to at least come chat with me, try to get more people to come around. Hopefully Chewy soon. We'll talk some baseball, but strictly when you're here, it's hoops, bro. Obviously we got the NBA playoffs starting up, which is great for us NBA fans. I think there's a lot of good stuff coming out of not only March Madness with UConn back-to-back championships, but the women's game, seeing kind of what's going on with Caitlin Clark and a lot of this stuff that I kind of like talked about with you like years ago that I see people talking about now and kind of bringing to the forefront. And I think that's extremely interesting to me. I think that's great content. I've asked you things like, hey, bro, why does the NBA
some of the games, like maybe the Caitlin Clark games, but as a whole, I thought that was ridiculous. And I wasn't even totally shocked by how the viewership that UConn versus Iowa got in the Final Four made sense to me, because they had a week, not a week, they had like 5 days leading up to it. It got marketed very well. It was on prime time on like a Friday night or something like that. Lisa, Bulver, TikTok, Lisa will like glance at the TV while I watch basketball, but Lisa like sat down and like watched the whole game, and I watched it. I was very impressed that the championship game did the numbers it did.
18.7 million views, way more than the men's. Yeah, dude, unbelievable stuff.
There was only 2 days of turnover between the Final Four, and like I'm someone who's pretty big into sports. I don't watch ESPN much, but I'm big into sports. I didn't fully realize that the championship game was on at 3 on Sunday or whatever day it was.
Yeah.
But, like, I turned it on like 20 minutes into the game and started watching. I was like, oh shit, this is on right now.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I was like, wow, I bet a lot of people didn't know this was on at this moment that would have watched. Clearly, I was wrong.
No, everyone was fucking watching. I mean, I was tuned in, bro. I was tuned in on when the games were being played, who was playing. I was way more tuned into that Elite Eight of the women's tournament than I was the men's. And obviously, I was rooting for UConn. But I figured UConn had a good chance to get to the Final Four, and even watching the UConn-Purdue National Championship game, like, UConn dominated the tournament, bro. Last year and this year, absolutely dominated the tournament. Plus 140 differential in terms of point differential this tournament. They've covered the spread in the both two tournaments literally every single time. Like, betting on UConn would get you paid. I hit them on winning the national championship at, like, plus 350 because it showed up on the sportsbook randomly for, like, a day. But you can't be in Connecticut doing that. So I got a little bit of ching on it. I went to New York. I saw that SGA game winner on Easter. Thinks hilarious, which is looking at that Shohei Ohtani thing. You know, it's like, oh, welcome back to SportsCenter presented by ESPN Bet. For more on Ohtani's situation, we go to FanDuel MLB insider Jeff Passan on our DraftKings studio in Los Angeles, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook. Jeff, could you, you know what I'm saying though? It's like, coming out with, oh, we're going to add gambling to the NBA app stream. So you don't have to go to the NBA app. You could just be watching in the NBA app and just bet right there. Like, they're doing that stuff, but then handing out lifetime bans when a player is betting. So I think it's just very interesting where this is all going, because the landscape of the USA, America, whatever you want to call it, is gambling, bro. People want to be gambling, whether it's on sports, whether it's on lotto. I saw the fucking scratch-off did like,
they're lucky he was a nobody, because they could just throw the book at him and ban him and be like, fuck you, we don't give a shit about you, and we're setting the precedent of you do this, you're fucked. But what he did was point shaving. He was point, like, fixing games in a way, telling people what he was going to do ahead of time. Granted, you could argue, like, Jontay Porter has no outcome on whether the team wins or loses the game. You're probably right. But he still was doing something where, like, it was a predetermined thing. This is what I'm going to do in the game. That is, like, the holy top sin of any all of this, because you are compromising the integrity of a league. Whereas, like,
let me get the stream going.
Throwing in like a random fucking, oh my god, you forgot. So Jontay Porter did the worst thing you could do, and it's basically like fixing sports games. Ridley 10-leg parlay Otani, the Otani situation I think is one of the most interesting sports stories, like off a field or a court in a long time. Like, I'm very interested to what happens there. I'm not going to make some hard stance of like this is definitely what it is, because I think there's a lot we don't know. But the Otani one wasn't on his own team. From what I've heard, it doesn't sound like it was on baseball. So, like, that at least alleviates him a little bit, where you're going to get less fucked because you shouldn't be betting. You're not supposed to be betting. The wild thing about his one to me, and I don't want to go into all of it because I've read some stuff, watched stuff on it, but the wild thing about his one is, like, I've increasingly started to believe that, like, there's a bigger and bigger chance that, like, he was pretty in the on everything that was going on. Like, this, maybe not every single detail, but I really think there's a good chance. His interpreter was his eyes, ears, everything in the U.S.
No shit, dude.
It's not that crazy to assume that we know he was the one managing everything. If he's managing his finances, it's not crazy to assume that every endorsement deal, everything Otani was signing, this dude's taking like fucking 10% off the top and betting it.
Yeah.
The wild thing about his bets, some of the texts and stuff have come out. This dude didn't come in just like, all right, 200K bet. This dude's bets, he was chasing. His betting amount kept going up and up and up and up, and he was asking the books, there's texts of him asking the books for like, hey, can you extend my like line of credit? Like, I promise, you know,
straight up fixing the games.
You're right.
Yeah.
The NBA would never catch it if Ray Allen told you that, but it'd be different if Ray Allen was like, yo, Seg, the game, I'm not going to take a three. Bet my under on threes. That would be like, all right, Ray Allen's getting himself into some fishy territory.
That would be fucking wild. Yeah, no, that's like, I don't know, dude. I think the more I talk about this, the more I'm like, yo, there's no way a star player can't say that to somebody and just absolutely brick. Like Steph Curry goes 1-for-10 or something, or Klay Thompson misses all of his shots, and you're telling me nobody's like, betting that? I don't know, bro. It's just the more I watch sports and follow sports, and the more gambling that trickles into sports, and these more stories that come out about it in sports, I'm like, I've been talking about how my dad's been telling me this shit's all fixed, and we talk about this on the pod, and shit's all messed up.
It's not. It's not all fixed. Last thing we'll say on this, but if Steph Curry, like, this is the way we have to think about it. A million times on this podcast, it all comes down to money. Like, okay, if Steph, we're using random examples. Obviously, Steph Curry or LeBron or anyone isn't doing this. But if a high-level athlete is going to participate.
These are all hypothetical examples we're giving.
The net outcome for them has to be, I'm receiving a benefit from this. They're not just doing it to make some random people money and be like, sure, I'll throw my career away.
So yeah, dude, you're missing my point, though.
Let me finish. No, I'm not. No, you're missing mine. The point has to be, what am I getting out of this? So they would have to be, and that has to be money. Literally the only thing it can be is money.
What do I want to touch on first? Well, I'll tell you this. I thought the Pelicans should have won that game the other night. I mean, I've been in the chat kind of talking about LeBron this year. I know Duke's like the biggest LeBron guy ever. So like every time I say something about it, he like takes it the wrong way. But I genuinely, even watching that game the other night and LeBron doing historic stuff we never seen before. It's like you're still relying on Anthony Davis to have a decent game. You're still relying on, like, it's like he's not out there carrying the team himself. So it's like you're still relying on these other pieces to kind of contribute. And yeah, I thought, like, as I was watching that game, it was just kind of, it made sense. Like, Zion's going for 40. Like, he's got 11 rebounds. Like, he's absolutely dominating the game. Like, I think you're seeing a new wave of teams and stars and all that in the league. As much as I love LeBron James, I mean, look what happened to the Warriors the other night. That was just shocking to me. I was honestly shocked by that. I was probably a year or two off on the Warriors, but they are absolutely toast, bro. They are done. They are absolutely a joke. I feel bad for Steph Curry, honestly.
Let's say on one team.
Ingram, because I think Zion's the piece that gets you closest to contending, and I just don't think their team fits very well right now. But, like, you're right. Yeah, there is a risk in that of, like, you kind of crossing your fingers like the Sixers did with Embiid, that he's going to actually stay healthy.
Yeah, I totally disagree with that.
Anyway, I do think, I don't know if you said it or not, I do think the Kings will probably beat them now that Zion's out. Which
of course
is
they will. Of course they will. I might not even watch those games tomorrow night, because I think it's going to be Bulls-Kings.
I'm telling you right now, I think the Thunder would have won, but Thunder Pelicans with a healthy Zion would have been a serious series, because Chet would have had a very tough time with Zion, despite Chet being an incredible defender. Now, the Thunder would have won probably, but that would have been a very good series. I'm upset we missed out on that.
I just want to say, stemming off that Zion thing, it's more impressive what LeBron James is doing, by the way. Because that's a guy that goes out there, and even though he's moving slower or whatever, it's like the dude's never hurt, bro. The dude's never hurt. And even if he is hurt, it's like he's not going to show it. He's not going to leave the game like that. Bro, Zion, that's just a fucking selly-ass, lame-ass job by Zion. Like, even if you – Jimmy Butler played the three quarters with a torn MCL last night, and you're telling –
Four on sportsbook.
I'm going in on it right after we get off the pod, baby.
The Knicks are plus money to just win the series overall,
which is fucking wild to me. That is wild. That's crazy.
So I think the Knicks are going to win this series. It's always tough because, like, in my head, I want to say six games, and then I'm like, well, do I think they're going to win in Philly? They're more likely to win in New York. I don't know about five. I don't know. I think the Knicks will win the series. I'd want to say six games. I think they could win in Philly. I don't think that'd be crazy. Philly was getting booed in Philly last night in like the first quarter. So I'll say Knicks in the six. I think they could win in Philly. But the scary thing to me is a week ago, somehow Joel Embiid looked better. I don't know how. I don't know if he retweaked something. He did not look himself last night, and he didn't. I think it was the last game of the season. I can't remember if he played that one. Whatever the last one I watched, he didn't look himself either. But he looked a little bit better when he first came back. Don't know if he retweaked something. Don't know whether to expect he's going to get more healthy or less healthy literally throughout the playoffs. It could go either way. I have no idea. And that's a huge depending factor in if the Knicks win or not. If he gets more healthy, that could be tough.
Yeah, bro. What?
Like this, Knicks could win in a sweep.
Listen, bro.
Hold on. candidates on who should win it, and I think everyone else is a dumb candidate for it, and it's not either of these. Like, another one where, like, I think Luka's third for MVP. You could tell me SGA, you could tell me Jokic, and I think those are both fair arguments. Defensive player of the year, it's funny because it's such different arguments for the two, but I think both are fair. Like, I think it's tough because this isn't how it works. It's like, if you take Tom Brady off the Patriots, if you take Tim Duncan off the Spurs, it's like, I think if you take Wembanyama and replace him on the Timberwolves for Rudy Gobert, I think their defense gets better. So that is me saying I think Wembanyama is a better defensive player than Rudy Gobert. But the tough side of it is Wembanyama's on one of the worst defenses. Clearly not his fault that they're the worst defense. He's an elite defensive player. It's not his fault at all. And Rudy's on the best defense, and he is technically the best defender on that defense.
Jesus fucking Christ, bro.
Look, I hear you. I do think – and that's where I come back to, can the – really the question here is, can the defender of the year – be on a team that has a bad defense?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, I think it's crazy the fact that this dude's getting recognition as defensive player of the year because his team overall is good defensively. Like, even though he's a pretty decent defender, we're top three in defense. It's like, dude, that's not why you win the award. You're the best defender in the league. Your team can be terrible on defense, right? I mean, think about it. Think about good defenders.
No, but here's the thing. The again, he averages more blocks than Wemby. I just looked it up. Wemby or Gobert's at 2.1. Wemby's at 3.6 blocks. Like, I don't disagree with you. This is one I don't have a hard stand on, but I do think it's like,
what's the one you have the hardest stance on? I don't even know if I caught it.
We'll do that. I didn't say it. We'll do that in a second. All right. I'll say it right after this. It's almost like saying, hey, what if, I'm trying to think of an example, like, if DeMar DeRozan put up absurd numbers, like DeRozan should have been the MVP, it doesn't matter that the Bulls were the 9 seed. It's like, it kind of does. Like, in order to be the most valuable player, you should be getting your team wins. You shouldn't be like barely not making the playoffs kind of thing. And it's the same thinking for me on defensive player of the year. Where like, I think Wemby's the best defensive player of the year, but it's like, well, his team has a bottom 10 defense. Like, but also that's clearly not his fault. So like, again, if you made me pick, I think the majority of people would disagree with it, but I do think I agree with you, and I probably would pick Wemby because I just think he's had a better defensive year than Rudy Gobert's had.
Yep.
But it's I can't sit here and say, like, Rudy Gobert's wrong because, like, I think you can instantly shoot down my argument. voters, media members, not people internal to the NBA, because then people will have biases. Media members, and some of the media members have biases too, and some of them just aren't informed enough. So, I mean, I think the only way to do it better would be maybe less people voting and have some of the less informed ones do it. But 100 individuals voting right now, and they each rank their votes first through fifth. And there's different points through first through fifth, and it's whoever ends up with the most amount of points.
Yeah.
Usually the most amount of first place votes, but most amount of points overall. So I think it's a pretty solid way to do it overall. I will say the one award I do have a strong stand on is who, if you don't have anyone that you feel strongly about, you don't have to answer, but anyone you feel strongly about for Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah, I had Malik Monk there for...
I'll go first if you want. You don't have to go. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why I just said Sixth Man of the Year. Most Improved Player of the Year is what I meant to say. Not Sixth Man of the Year.
Most Improved Player of the Year. Interesting.
I'll say my part first if you want.
Yeah, go ahead, because I'm curious to think if the guy I'm thinking of is who you got. Go ahead.
doesn't play game one, I'd be surprised if he plays game two. I'd expect him maybe get back game three, first game in Indy.
Nah, they're not win. They're done.
I think so too.
There's gonna be some upsets though, bro. There's gonna be some upsets, and I see a lot of chalky stuff happening. So if that's the way I see it, it's looking like the Lakers.
Whoever wins out of the Knicks and the Sixers is going to be sitting there in the second round if the Pacers win. Like, I'm not saying they just roll over the Pacers, but they're going to be like, did we just get like a pretty great ride to the conference finals potentially? Like, don't get me wrong, the Knicks Sixers have to beat each other, but like,
yeah,
that,
bro.
And then like potentially the Pacers is not a tough ride to the conference finals. And then you get the Celtics there, which is brutal.
Yeah. You know, okay, so
I feel good about the Knicks path.
Yeah. No, I feel really good about the Knicks path, bro. I mean, I might go hop on the Knicks to win the championship real quick before it goes down. At this point, we still have this bet where who's going to get farther, the Thunder or the Knicks in the playoffs, unfortunately, because I took it a step farther where it was like, you're like, oh, dude, that's not fair, dude. We can't do wins. So I'm like, all right, fine, further in the playoffs. And then, of course, Thunder get the one seed. Knicks get this easy.
However, the four games where they did sweep them last year, they were four incredibly close games that were not like, oh my God, like it was four games or like any one of them the Lakers could have won.
Yep.
My concern with that is it kind of goes to my thing about Jokic of like, I think the Lakers need to be up 10 points at the end of the game, which is tough to do on the Nuggets, because if you're in a 4-point game with the Nuggets with 3 minutes left, I will live bet Jokic every time because he's not going to wait.
Yeah, that's fine. You would have lost it. You would have lost it the other night when I live bet Wemby down fucking 2 points in the fourth quarter at like plus +1,000 and $5 to win 75. They ended up pulling out the win. Yeah, bro. I mean, you can do that about any live bet nowadays. That's really where it's at, actually. You're watching the game, feel something.
The point wasn't betting. The point was that Jokic will execute in the last few minutes
And that was always LeBron's thing. And I'm not saying LeBron doesn't. It's just like he's older with a little bit more of a toll on him.
Yeah, bro. That's fine.
I got to. I think I got to join this.
All right.
I think I got to hop off for this meeting thing right now.
Hop off for the meeting thing. Enjoy your rest of day to work. We'll try and catch up for hoops next week. And you got NFL draft a week from today. Hopefully the Giants make a good pick. Peace, dude.
All right. Later, brother.
My guy, Rich, hopping into the conversation today. Good stuff. Always good talking hoops, catching up. Obviously, NBA playoffs right now is going to be fire. Looking forward to WNBA season coming up. Trying to catch a Mets game here with Chu over the next couple weeks as baseball is kind of going down. And yeah, I'm as a Giants fan, just I'm hearing all these rumors about we're trading up for a QB. I would hate that. I'm hearing all these rumors about Bill Belichick potentially coming in to coach the Giants. I would hate that. I'm just seeing a lot of bad things coming out of what's kind of shaked out for the Giants. What's kind of going down? I see like Devontae Smith gets a freaking huge contract for the Eagles. He's a guy I wanted to draft, and we should have drafted. The Eagles move up and get him. Just things that kind of shake out. Obviously, we lose Saquon to the Eagles, and we kind of boosted up both lines, and we're still kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with Daniel Jones. I think that is our biggest mistake. You know, now we got buyer's remorse. Now it's like we got to move up and take one of these QBs where we're going to get like the third or the fourth best one. That'd be a mistake. So it's like, dude, the Giants have another bad season, and they fire Brian Daboll. I'm going to be super upset because you hook this dude up with basically nothing. He took him to the playoffs, and then all of a sudden they... is, but I think it's not getting any better. It only seems to be getting worse. Things only seem to be changing more rapidly and more often. And yeah, I mean, for me, things have changed so much for me now where I'm feeling so much better about where I'm at personally with my job and my life and all these things that you can't control, but you can control certain things. So it can really affect where you're, how you're feeling and where you're at. And that's all just trial and error stuff, dude. And for me right now, as much as I can't get in here and pod as much as I'd like to, because I don't have as much time, I'll try and get back here when I can and talk sports and talk thoughts and talk things that I want to get out there and say hi to the people that check in and check me out here or listen to the podcast or want to stop in. It's all good stuff to me. But it is challenging. It is challenging to kind of think about things that have kind of gone on, think about things that will go on, think about people that I talk to that I might not get to talk to again, whether they're alive or understanding the next phases of kind of just growing up, and just continuing to grow up and continuing to learn and continue trying to advance my career and continue trying to do things that make me happy and whatever. And stopping in here and doing the podcast is certainly one of those things. As much as they keep trying to change it and make it hard, I'll keep trying to come in here and get my thoughts out there and get some sports conversations in that I think, or non-sports conversations in that I think are good to be had. I got to get out of here though. I got to get to work soon. I got 4 golf lessons today. I'm teaching a lot of golf. So I started up a new job, strictly teaching golf now. So I strictly moved to just a golf teaching professional. So I've been teaching at Chris Cody's. Chris Cody, I've known for a long time. I mean, he started up his thing, I don't know, probably even before I was born at this point. I'd have to ask him, but I've known him for at least 10 years now, going back to where I was working in the golf shop business and bringing clubs over there. And he knew my mom. He has a location in Portland. He was a super nice guy. I got an opportunity to jump in. just weird feelings, I guess would be the best way to describe it, where it's like, even if I'm feeling good, or if I get a nice new job, or something great happens to me, or something bad happens to me, all I really think about at the end of the day is my mom's. I think about people that aren't here. I think about people that are struggling. I think about people that I see that are going through just unthinkable tragedies, and it's just tough to continue on after that. And that's something I'm always trying to do. I'm always trying to continue on. I'm always trying to keep going, push forward. It's not easy. It becomes very kind of stagnant and the same stuff over and over again. But I keep battling. I'm gonna get out of here for the day. Come back around, hopefully sooner rather than later. Hopefully they don't change everything by the time I come back around. Who knows? But I'll be rooting for the Thunder. I'll be rooting for the Knicks. Shout out UConn. See y'all next time here on the Seggy Station. Deuces.